Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Welcome into another edition of the Under Center podcast here on NBC Sports Chicago. I'm JJ Stankovic, joined by Cam Ellis and Paul Aspen in our downtown Chicago studios. The first day of the legal tampering period, or if you don't like that, the negotiation period before the league year begins. As I called it, it's the tamper hamper terrible tweet.
It's the best name we've heard for it yet so far.
Yeah, so we've already got some pretty interesting reports out there about some contracts that are being signed, but I want to lead this one off with a couple of reports that have been put out there about Le'Veon Bell. Most recently, we had a report from SNY kind of confirming that the Bears are interested in it. FanSided was the first outlet to put it out there that the Bears may have some interest in Le'Veon Bell. FanSided's report said there was significant interest. So what do we think of this? Do we think Le'Veon Bell's coming to Chicago?
I mean, now that it's becoming, like, we could talk about it, yeah, here we are. Like, I'm in. But, my first reaction to the FanSided report, and not taking any away from the guy reporting it, but I just kind of like, okay, this seems like a agent ploy to drive it up. That was my first reaction, just because we've all kind of been like, on a scale of 1 to 10, this is a 1%, you know, one chance of happening. Sure. But if we're going to actually consider this, I'm in.
Yeah.
And I think to another question about it, JJ, that you mentioned to us before, how does it, like, in what scenario does this make sense? All of them. If you can make this happen, make it happen.
Yeah, I do. I sort of totally agree with you where it feels like the Bears are the team that is in a championship window, so that an agent throws them in the list to sort of leverage them. But I think you're absolutely right. I don't think the Bears are by any means in the driver's seat here, because they're not. I'm not even sure if they're in the car, but they are. If there's a situation we were talking about earlier, JJ, that if things fall the right way and it's not that bizarre of an if at this point, I think there is a not terribly difficult path to it happening.
Yep.
Between, you know, maybe his value is not as good as it once was, a year off. Crazier things have happened. And I think that's why it would theoretically make sense.
So the Jets have been out there as the favorite for Le'Veon Bell. They have a ton of money to spend. It makes sense. They have a need at running back. But if you're Le'Veon Bell, I think if you're Le'Veon Bell, you sat out last year because you want the money. And you feel like you have earned and deserved the money, which is very much fair if you're Le'Veon Bell. Running backs don't have very long careers. If you can get your money, you've got to go get it.
Yep.
So I think there's a circumstance where maybe Le'Veon Bell looks at it and says, man, I don't want to go play for the Jets. That offense is bad. I know they just hired Adam Gase, but they don't really have a lot of things that are interesting for a player if you want to go win somewhere. The Bears have that, but they don't have the money. And if I'm Le'Veon Bell, I go get the money. Personally, I don't care about chasing a ring, because at the end of the day, you've got to get that money if you're Le'Veon Bell. But the circumstance where he comes to Chicago is one where he looks at his market. Maybe it's just the Jets, and the 49ers don't have a lot of interest. The Raiders don't have the cash on hand to put into escrow, which is what Chris Mortensen reported. Beyond that, there are, you know, the Eagles may be a dark horse in this that's been thrown out there. So if it comes down to the Bears and the Jets, I'd give the edge to the Jets. But also to Cam, your point, this also could be a tactic by Le'Veon Bell's agent, who, by the way, is the same agent who represents Tevin Coleman and Jordan Howard, to drive up Bell's market, because there may not be the interest that they were hoping for starting on Monday.
As much as I want to get excited about this, to your point about taking the money, I mean, if Le'Veon Bell wanted to chase a ring, he's not sitting out last year.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of throws a bucket of cold water on the whole thing. But I'm definitely agree that I think he's probably taking the money, as opposed to, I just wonder what the difference is there. Like, what's the monetary difference? Can the Bears even get close in some sort of creative way so that it's close enough that he wants to come here?
I guess my sort of last point on this would be that Ryan Pace makes moves that we don't see coming, and they are now in this win now window. It would be it would be shocking, but maybe not surprising, if that makes sense. Yeah. Why not go make this move, or at least try and make the move? You're in your win now window. This is it. Like, it would not surprise me if this is someone going, Pace is going, well, you know, no one thought we'd get Khalil Mack, and we sure went and got Khalil Mack.
Right.
It's apples and oranges transactionally, but I think the idea of swinging big for one last piece makes a lot of sense for what
from
Ryan
the Bears' perspective. It makes all the sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Le'Veon Bell is one of the best running backs in the NFL. Yeah, he took a year off last year, but you look at what he can do in the passing game, you look at what he can do with his vision and the things that Matt Nagy talked about at the combine about what he wants out of a running back, that's Le'Veon Bell. Yep. And look, this isn't to say that Le'Veon Bell is only a scheme fit for Matt Nagy's offense, because he's a scheme fit for every offense. He's that good. But yeah, I mean, Le'Veon Bell would solve the Bears' running problems.
Yeah.
But he would do it at a cost, whereas the other option here, which is the one that I think is far more likely for the Bears to take, is that they go and they sign a free agent. So far, the name that's been floated around the most, Mike Garofalo has put it out there, is Mark Ingram. And then you still draft a running back in April. But the price has to be right for a guy like Mark Ingram. You can't go out and pay Mark Ingram $6 or $7 million a year. I think that's probably too much. But if you can get him on a, you know, maybe a 3-year $13 million, $14 million deal where you line up the guarantees so you can cut him if the guy you draft turns out to be better in a year, I think that would make a lot of sense.
That's where I'm at with Mark Ingram. I'm just like, does he make you that much better? Like, we're talking that $4 to $6 million range. If you're on the very bottom of that range, okay. But if you're getting any higher than that, I'm just like, I don't know that solves your problem necessarily.
It feels a little bit fan servicey to me, almost, in the sense that people are all of a sudden getting impatient with a quiet Bears offseason, and you want to. I know Ryan Pace is not making a decision based on what Bears Twitter is telling him to do, but there is an aspect of making moves to please a very passionate fan base, and I don't know how much of that plays into it, but it does feel a little fan servicey to me, I guess, is all.
One thing I would hope maybe the Bears can do in this is drive up the price a little bit for another team that's been connected to them, and that's the Packers.
Right. That's a good point.
Yeah. We'll get into more on the NFC North later, because there is a team in the NFC North that has spent a buttload of money today.
Yeah.
Mark Ingram, though, everyone kind of has this impression of Mark Ingram that maybe he wasn't what the Saints really thought they were getting in the first round back in 2011, where he was, you know, coming off a Heisman Trophy winning year, and he started his career slow, averaging 3.9 yards per carry his first 2 years. You look at what he's done recently. Over the last 3 years in New Orleans, his yards per carry, 5.1, 4.9, 4.7. You can say that's going down. That's entirely fair. But also, 46 catches, 58 catches, 21 catches. So maybe Ingram, is starting to slow down a bit. You know, he only played in 12 games last year. But we're still talking about a guy who, I think if you bring him in, he's not going to be your feature back, because you already have Tariq Cohen. You're probably going to draft someone. I think he fits the offense a lot better than a three-headed backfield of Cohen, a draft pick, and Jordan Howard. If you look at it that way, you just have to make sure the price is right on it and you're not overreaching for a guy because he's hit free agency. It's got to be in that window where you can pay the guy, still address your needs elsewhere, and you do improve your run game.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to get as excited about it as, you know. Again, we're talking about the possibility of Le'Veon Bell, so I, of course, am doing the fan thing. I'm all in on that.
Yeah.
Mark Ingram.
It's hard to be like Le'Veon Bell and then also Mark Ingram. You're like, yes.
T.J. Yeldon.
But that plays more to the point, I think, that Robert Mays made the other week about why pay that money for a running back who you're going to get the same production from someone probably in the fourth or fifth round that you draft.
And I don't think it's a foregone conclusion that the Bears are trading Jordan Howard.
True.
You know, if all they're going to get for him is a sixth or a seventh round pick, I don't know if that really serves the need when you can just keep Howard, draft a running back. You don't go out and spend all this money on a free agent. And you keep Jordan Howard at $2 million a year, you draft a running back, and then you can use that money to sign, you know, bring back Bryce Callahan, or, you know, go out and get a safety. Which brings me to my next point here, because there are a couple contracts that have been agreed to on Monday that I think affect the Bears kind of significantly. And that would be the absolutely huge deal that Washington gave to Landon Collins. When it's signed on Wednesday, it'll be 6 years, $84 million are the reported figures. That is a lot of money, $14 million per year, $45 million of it is guaranteed. So let's start there. so far the safety market has been, it has not been depressed at all.
Nope.
Right before we started this podcast, it was reported that Kenny Vaccaro will return to Tennessee, where he signed a one-year prove-it deal last year for $3 million a year. He'll return for 4 years, $26 million, with $11.5 million guaranteed. So we're talking that comes out to $6.5 million per year. That is a pretty good contract for Kenny Vaccaro. That's not the kind of contract that gets given out to the second safety who signs in this market if it's going to be a depressed market.
Right.
So I think that that probably is a signal that Adrian Amos, that market for him, might start at $8 or $9 million a year, and it could potentially scrape 10.
Yeah.
So thoughts on that?
I think, and I know I said last week I'm Team Callahan over Team Amos. I think for that, I think that's too expensive for this Bears defense in this situation. If you were talking about that $8 to $10 million range, 4 for $32 million, maybe something like that, it's almost like we've got the very top of the market and then the bottom of like a guy like Andrew Sandejo, who, you know, just was is a free agent now today. He's probably a lot cheaper just because injuries and everything else. Mm-hmm. But it's almost like we've got the top of the market and the bottom of the market for these 3-4 year deals, and Amos will be somewhere in the middle. I think it's looking more and more like even both the Bears might have to move on from both Amos and Callahan.
Right. I was going to say it sort of felt like when the year ended, the plan was bring them both back, and it was, oh, that's, you know, not like Castaway, so it's feasible.
Right.
It really doesn't feel feasible anymore, and I don't know. It seems mostly based on Amos's, just because Amos has been a little more public conversation. Callahan's sort of flown under the radar so far, at least I will say. But yeah, I mean, they're not going to bring them both back if they're going to, if Amos is going to be a $10 million a year guy. I don't see how that happens.
And that wouldn't make sense
in
their budget. I mean, they may like Amos a lot, but to pay Adrian Amos $10 million a year and also then turn around and pay Eddie Jackson a ton of money.
Right.
Because, Cam, you made this point before we came on the podcast that actually the Landon Collins deal could set the market for Eddie Jackson in a year.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, 6 and 84, $14 million a year for a 25-year-old safety. Now, granted, Landon Collins is a box safety. Eddie Jackson is a more rangy ball hawk safety, a guy who's going to make more plays on balls in the air.
Isn't he even more valuable?
Which, that's the thing,
I
don't think anyone thought a box safety would get the contract that Landon Collins got. So, I mean, we could be talking about $15, $16 million a year for Eddie Jackson. And if that's the figure, the Bears, you're not going to pay Adrian Amos $10 million and then all of a sudden have $26 million tied up in two safeties. So I think that this is kind of the other aspect of the Collins deal that needs to be kind of mentioned here.
Right. Let's say tomorrow Eddie Jackson signs an extension, $684 million. It's a great deal.
Yeah.
I would be shocked at this point if it's any lower than that for Jackson when it's time. So I think if people are always talking about Amos, and yeah, there's certainly that plays, but I see that as that's the money, that top flight safety. And people were saying, well, maybe he's not as good as he first was. This is someone who was quote unquote on the decline or having a couple declined years. Maybe not on the decline because he's what, 25.
But he was coming off a down year with the Giants.
He was worth more in years prior. And Eddie Jackson is someone who looks, at least trajectory wise, to be going the opposite direction. So, they're gonna owe him a lot of money soon.
Yeah, and I mean, it's gonna be, if Eddie Jackson's showing what kind of player he's gonna be in the long term, it'll be worth about every penny.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it's still gonna be something they have to deal with.
Now, the other aspect of this is that the rest of the league could just be laughing at Washington right now and being like, what are you doing?
Does a deal like that actually set the market?
I mean, be so outlandish that it doesn't even affect the market. Because other teams are like, well, we're not doing that.
Right.
So the other one that I think is really interesting today, Justin Coleman goes to the Detroit Lions for 4 years, $36 million. That's the agreed upon terms that have been reported out there. That would make him the highest paid slot cornerback in the NFL. Now, there are some differences between Justin Coleman and Bryce Callahan. Coleman is younger. He played for the Patriots, which apparently is a prerequisite for signing with the Lions this year. But this is something that Bryce Callahan's agent can go to whatever teams are looking at him and say, look, this guy got this money. I don't think we're asking for that, but they might not be that far off from asking for 3-4 years and maybe $8 million. It may not be all that far off.
I mean, almost a similar price tag to Amos.
Yeah.
I mean, different positions, obviously. But yeah, it's the Lions are going, the way the NFL is trending, they're zeroing in on the slot. I mean, they brought in Danny Amendola for wide receiver and then a slot corner. So the Lions are certainly getting better and taking a run at this. And then Callahan, similar to Amos, I mean, that was kind of the other part I mentioned. It's just with these deals being out there, it's just I'd be surprised at this point if either of them are back.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. Sporttrack's market value for Callahan is only 6.3 a year, which feels a little low to me. I get durability is a concern, and maybe that's where part of that comes from. But 6.3, I would be shocked if Bryce Callahan signs for 6.3 a year. Like, he's going to get more than that. I would be 4.36 for Bryce Callahan. I think would be a lot. I think the age and the durability helps Coleman a lot more than it helps Callahan. Yeah. But yeah, I think we are now sort of seeing the actual proof that the secondary market is one where you're not going to be able to bring them both back. I agree.
It's turned out to be robust. And I think the theory that it's going to be lower because of how flooded it is, or maybe teams don't know quite what they're doing with a nickel yet, could alter it. I think that's out the window. I think that, you know, what we've seen so far from free agency through 4 hours and 45 minutes as of right now that we're potting is that there's a lot of money being thrown around, and the Bears are going to have to probably either spend quite a bit of it to bring back some of these guys or to fix some of their holes, or they can go kind of bargain barrel hunting and hope they can find something there. We're going to take a quick break here on the Under Center podcast. Be back with some more thoughts on today's free agent action.
For monster coverage of the monsters of the Midway, download the My Teams app by NBC Sports. Keep the Bears at your fingertips every day of the week. Download the app today.
All right, JJ, Cam, and Paul back here on the Under Center podcast. While we were in break for about 20 seconds, this is how today is going. Ian Rappaport reported that the Jaguars have signed Nick Foles. So any writers of The Good Place, you're going to have to start working on some new material. No one a Good Place fan here?
I've heard they do the Bortles thing.
Yeah, they have a big Bortles. Yeah. Jason Mendoza loves Blake Bortles. Anyways, the team that I think has been the most active and maybe the most surprising today has been the Detroit Lions. You look at what they've done going out, signing, as we mentioned, Justin Coleman to the biggest deal ever given to a slot corner. Danny Amendola, like Paul mentioned, to come in as a slot receiver. Then a huge deal for Trey Flowers at 5 years. I think it was, I saw about $17 million a year. And they also signed tight end Jesse James, formerly of the Pittsburgh Steelers. These are the deals that are going to get done on Wednesday, it looks like, right now.
Offseason champs, Detroit Lions.
Yeah. Big offseason for them, for that whole front office. But they're still the Lions. I don't know. I can't really put my finger on it. But I've never been this big fan of Matt Stafford. You guys know I'm not that big of a fan of Matt Patricia from what I saw to him as a first-year coach. So generally, though, does this make you worried about the Lions next year in the NFC North?
I don't know that worried is the word I'd use. I think it's – you got to take them, I'll say, seriously now.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, last year, I think you penciled in two Ws.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, last year – what it was, Daniels on a pretty short week, and
literally the shortest turnaround in NFL history.
And everyone was just like, well, the Bears will probably still win. I don't know if you can take 48 hours of Chase Daniel with the ones and expect them to walk into Detroit and win necessarily anymore. It's still maybe, Mitch Trubisky will have more trouble than he did last year, I think. But it's still, right, the Lions.
Right. I mean, the Bears are up, 26-0 on the Lions in, 4 seconds. Because that's just how bad that team was last year. I mean, look, Trey Flowers is a good player. That is a good signing for them to probably replace Zeke Ansah. Ziggy Ansah, sorry, not Zeke Ansah. What am I thinking on that? And then, you know, Justin Coleman coming in for that kind of money, that is a lot of money to throw at a slot cornerback to come into a defense that has a lot of question marks, as Robert Mays mentioned on his guest appearance on our podcast last week. Slot corner play oftentimes is the product of the rest of a defense. So if the rest of that Lions defense still is questionable, then that money for Justin Coleman may not be worth it. I mean, the money that the Texans gave Aaron Colvin last year didn't really prove out to be worth it. So some question marks still for me about the Lions.
Yeah, I mean, we saw how bad that the entire secondary was last year. Yeah. I mean, that's obviously a product of the entire defense. Maybe we're sitting here 6 months from now and saying the Lions had the offseason the Bears did last year. I think that's a long shot.
Yeah. But they need the coach the Bears hired last year.
Right. And I guess that's still, if you were just right now, if you were to rank contender-wise in the North, Bears obviously number one.
Yeah.
You're still going Vikings Packers,
two, Packers three, Lions four. Yeah.
This does feel like the offseason where in 3 years we look back and go, wow, remember when the Lions like went for it that offseason and nothing changed? Like that's what this feels like to me.
Wow, they just went all in and signed Adam Dunn. The other big deal today, Trent Brown going to the Oakland Raiders for the biggest contract ever given to a tackle at 4 years and $66 million. Kudos to the Patriots because they're going to get a third-round comp pick out of this. They're going to get a third-round comp pick out of Trey Flowers. And Bill Belichick just continues to be an absolute wizard when it comes to that aspect of it. I don't think anyone can play it as well as he has. But the point I want to make about Trent Brown is, boy, does Charles Leno's contract extension that he signed in 2000 before the 17 season, that looks really good. 4 years and $37 million for Charles Leno, who made the Pro Bowl this year and is playing at a high level and still is probably getting better. That contract looks really good right now.
Looks pretty good. And then if you're – and I saw this floating out there a little bit after the news of the Trent Brown signing, but, you know, other side of the line – but if you're Bobby Massey, are you a little bit like...
That's what I was wondering too, yeah.
Maybe I should have even like stuck around for a little bit more money. I know we wanted to stay in Chicago and everything else, but that was kind of my thought when I saw it.
Yeah, I was sort of thinking, I was like, man, I know, yeah, right, that they were, he sort of ended up staying in Chicago, and when the sides worked out, like, if you both want the same thing, go for it. But yeah, I wonder if he's sitting there being like, I probably could have gotten a couple more out of the Bears.
See, I think the contract that he would look at that and say is the one that the Bengals gave to Bobby Hart.
Right.
If you don't know who Bobby Hart is, don't worry.
Yeah, that's fine.
But he gave up, I saw Doug Farrar tweeted, he gave up 10 sacks last year and got a 3-year $21 million deal from the Bengals.
I should have been an NFL player.
You should have been an NFL player. But, I mean, look, this is where the Bears have done really well to address their offensive line because it is really expensive to go out and get veteran offensive linemen. And the Charles Leno deal has been critical in the Bears' roster construction. I think Bobby Massey wanted to come back to Chicago. Yeah. I think that was a big part of it. He knows the stability there. I think he liked working with Harry Hiestand and the rest of his offensive line mates. So that definitely played a part with it. And the Bears are sitting here with the same five offensive linemen they had last year coming back, where the Raiders, who also, by the way, the Raiders have one of the worst offensive line coaches in the NFL in Tom Cable. Now he's tasked with making sure he can keep Trent Brown's productivity at the same level it was when he was playing for one of the best offensive line coaches in the NFL. The Bears are sitting here with a good offensive line depth chart, a good offensive line coach, and they're really not paying that much money to these guys comparatively, and that's a really good place to be because if you don't have an offensive line, you become the Vikings, where you could have every other position set the way you want it, and you don't make the playoffs because your offensive line just can't get it done.
And we've talked about this before, especially with a growing quarterback.
Yeah.
Yep. In a new offense as they're continuing to take the next progression. I mean, it might be one of the most undervalued part of this whole Bears, you know, project, turning them into a contender.
Right, that was exactly my point, is that it's sort of funny how every team is trying to plug all their holes. The Bears' biggest concern is Mitch Trubisky taking the next step.
Right.
They can fill as many backup nickel corner spots as the day is long, but if Mitch Trubisky doesn't, the number one storyline next year is Mitch Trubisky taking
right.
the step.
Yeah, absolutely. And that, you're absolutely right, Cam. The rest of these free agents that are coming in are secondary plots in the story
right.
to Mitch Trubisky. It's like, will Jaime kill Cersei in Game of Thrones? But, well, the White Walkers are coming, so that's really the thing we need to pay attention to. Okay, before we get out of here, because we're recording this podcast, we started at 3:30. It's almost 4 o'clock right now. There is sure to be tons of action happening between now and at least the end of the day, overnight. So give me a prediction of what you think a big move is going to happen in the next, we'll call it 15 hours, between now and when everyone wakes up on Tuesday morning.
Okay, so I will say... So as long as I'm getting this right. So like another team can talk to Adrian Amos right now.
Yep.
Yeah. So I'm saying Adrian Amos to the Packers.
To the Packers.
Like the Kyle Fuller thing, but a year later.
Yeah. Okay.
I'd be to that. I'm doubling down on my guy. Bears, Cordarrelle Patterson.
There it is.
2 years, $9 million, $6.5 guaranteed. I'll say that. There we go.
2 years. I'm writing this down. 2 years.
$9 million. Six and a half guaranteed.
6.5 guaranteed. We're going to do a podcast tomorrow. If Cam is right about that, we're going to throw a party for it.
It'll be my last podcast ever.
You're just going to retire and walk out. Yeah. My prediction, I'm actually going to kind of cheat at this because this isn't going to be that anyone signed. Le'Veon Bell will not have signed by tomorrow morning. I think the Le'Veon Bell thing might drag out into later in the week. Maybe he's a Thursday or Friday signing because he's going to try to squeeze every last penny out of this contract he signs because he knows how important it is. And look, like we were saying earlier, Le'Veon Bell does not hold out from the Steelers for a full year if he's chasing a ring. He wants to get the money. He has earned the right to get that money. I'm not criticizing him for it at all.
Nope.
And I think this probably drags out a little bit longer as his agent tries to drive up his market.
I wanted to go hero ball and say Le'Veon Bell to the Bears.
Yeah.
No.
Maybe tomorrow. We'll get Destin.
No, that was my prediction.
Spicy. Yeah, we'll be back with a fresh podcast tomorrow. If something happens right in the morning, we're going to have a podcast for you by lunchtime. If something happens later in the afternoon, we'll have a fresh podcast for you right around the same time today. So hopefully you can listen to this on your commute home. And we'll talk to you tomorrow. It's going to be a really busy, fun next couple of hours here in free agency. There's already been a lot happening, and there's plenty more to happen and plenty more to cover here on NBC Sports Chicago. So stick with us, and thanks for listening.